If you see something, say something. At Reply, weird things come with any weird story you find on the web, and you can help make weirdthings.com even weirder.
Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Weird Things podcast. My name is Andrew Main. Joining me is Mr. Justin Robert Young.
Hello, everybody.
And our very special guest, Veronica Belmont.
Hello, everybody.
Justin just said that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's okay.
It was better when you said it, though.
Yeah, well, it was kind of better when she said it. I just didn't want you to feel bad, Justin.
That wasn't even my best take. Can we edit this? Hello, everybody.
That's good. That's good. I'll cut that right in, and I'll get some echo.
Justin's just going to take some scotch tape and put it over the microphone and make a sound and be like, all right, edit done.
Yes, there we go. Yeah, no, I duct tape my laptop shut and throw it in a river, and I'm like, well, that's done.
Done. So it's been a little while since I've been on this podcast with you, Justin. We've never had Veronica on, which I think in my absence she would have been a great guest to have, but that never happened.
Actually, funny enough, she was the guest that was going to be there in your absence because initially
I was.
Yeah, you. So Andrew has been very, very busy, and I texted him last night, and I'm like, "Hey, are you going to be able to do the podcast?" And he's like, "No." So I'm like, okay, well, I've been meaning to invite Veronica on.
I said doubtful.
Okay, well, normally 9 times out of 10, doubtful means no. And so I invited Veronica on. Veronica was nice enough to come on. And then I called Brian and I'm like, hey, guess what? We have a special guest. Veronica's going to be on. And he's like, well, that's great because I have the death flu.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to be able to be on. So, and lo, there we go. Now Veronica is Brian's replacement and not Andrew's, because Andrew was able to do the show. And here we go.
Awesome. Well, speaking of the death flu, a clinic in Zimbabwe is recently reopened because they were able to clear themselves out of blank. They've been closed since November 22nd when four nurses decided they couldn't work anywhere because of blank. But thankfully, it's been all cleaned up and it's all taken care of, so they don't have to worry about blank anymore. Are we going to take any guesses?
Ooh.
Zimbabwe, you said?
The
Zimbabwe.
Iris Vale Clinic.
Spider monkeys.
Spider monkeys. It's good. It's good.
See, that would be, I mean, now, Veronica, this is going to be a really great testing ground for this podcast because, like, a clinic full of spider monkeys, that would be weird. But it might not be Weird Things podcast worthy.
And spider monkeys are a New World monkey, we should point out.
What does that even mean?
Why do we have to draw these lines?
It's not that weird of things. Come on.
Wait, what is a New World monkey? And by the way, let me add a pregnant pause where I don't make any of the jokes that would be horrifyingly taken.
New World monkeys are like monkeys you find in North America, South America.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So you would not, it would be very weird. It would be a bunch of spider monkeys on holiday if they were invading a clinic in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
With their tiny little monkey luggage.
And the tiny little monkey cameras.
Oh, and their little hats.
And they got such a tiny little group rate for all flying together.
It's right. The little tiny monkey taking hipstamatic photos.
Tiny cruise ship.
Yeah.
Imagine how tall.
Really, really tiny, terrible Liberace impersonator.
I can actually see him in my head now, too. He's got like that white little wig. It's coming off. The tail is just flipping around because the spider monkey's got those awesome tails.
Oh, man. They're all drinking such tiny little alcoholic drinks and making such tiny little mistakes.
But the only thing really out of place is the candelabra and the flames are just too damn big. So it's like birthday candles that are melting really fast. And he's like, because it keeps getting on the keyboard.
So he's not even singing in this fantasy tiny monkey world. The Liberace monkey isn't even singing. They're just screeching.
Ah!
Ah! Oh, and they're in the the audience, like, he doesn't sound anything like the real Liberace. All right.
So weirder. You want weirder. Okay.
Veronica, I'm going to go ahead and say, and this is a weird, we haven't had a story like this in a while, but I'm going to go ahead and say goblins.
Ding, ding.
Yes.
Veronica, I don't know if you can cover this.
This is a competition.
There is a, you know how we talk about how, you know, in the United States, we don't get all the news and, you know, the rest of the world that we kind of maybe have this media blackout. And I keep waiting for Noam Chomsky to do a whole story, a whole book on this. It's if he's
now
still
alive. Hold on. Now that we've talked about, you said Noam Chomsky, and I thought G-N-O-M-E.
No, Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky.
that's the number one book checked out of the Monkey Cruise library is Noam Chomsky.
Well, there was actually a chimpanzee somebody tried to teach language skills to. They called Noam Chomsky.
Really?
Yes. So
Noam Chomsky was a very unpopular character in Harry Potter / fiction.
Master, give me the sports section.
I'm going to laugh too hard. Okay. I got this.
All right. So the news, you know, we have such a just an oligarchy of media conglomerates that sometimes you don't get the real stories on your front page.
It, so if you do if you search Google News as I want to do for goblin, you find a lot of goblin stories coming out of Africa, in particular Zimbabwe, and without any context, it'll just say like residents of Zimbabwe villages say they've cleansed a medical clinic of goblins, but nurses who fled the clinic are still too afraid to come back to work. They took away those goblins and the clinic is now clean, Moyo said. We need the nurses to prove it for themselves, but they still believe they will get attacked. And goblins in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and other parts of Africa have a reputation for haunting, raping, stealing things, murder. I've been trying to find out what the hell a goblin means. I keep thinking that it's some sort of language thing, but you know, these articles are written in English first. And
because they do this, like, it seems much less of like a, like, oh, silly goblins. It's like, it's not like, oh, they took a 5-pound note and then hid it under my pillow. Goblins, you? Like, it's like, no, they murdered and raped somebody. Please get these goblins out of here.
And we started doing these goblin stories, Veronica, laughing at them. And then in the middle of one, I had this thought, like, what if goblin just means like escaped felon?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't.
It means goblin.
Goblin, actually, goblin comes. The goblin is their word for what is called a tikoloshi or tikoloshi, and it's from Zulu mythology. And it's a dwarf-like water sprite. It's considered mischievous and evil, and it can become invisible by swallowing a pebble. Justin, that's your homework. They're called upon by malevolent people to cause trouble for others. At least harmful. It can just be used to scare children, but its power extends to causing illness and even death. So the way to get rid of them is you call the witch doctor, who I wonder is the person who most often diagnoses that they've got a goblin problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the expert.
You know, these guys would be auto mechanics here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like he's the witch doctor rolls in. He's like, well, I think all these murders and rapes are the work of goblins and not a violent street gang.
And at all the businesses, there's a sign that says goblin free for like 15 days.
Yes. Well, it's like in where I live in Oakland, like they have all these signs and there's like, I live in a fairly nicer area of Oakland and it's all like, so you have all these like kind of very twee places, like an artisanal spice shop. And they all have these like signs that says Oakland says no to violence. And it's like, oh, well, thank God. Cause now all the street gangs can lay down their arms, beat their swords into plowshares. Now that the artisanal spice shop has laid down the law.
I just, you wonder like who they're directing that. Unlike you, Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah, exactly. Like Bozeman says hip, hip, hooray to violence.
It's kind of like preaching to the choir a little bit too, because I typically like hardened criminals are not going to be attending the artisanal spice shop.
No,
that's just
they're not seeing that sign. I know. I mean, everyone likes spices, but
dude, is that anise?
Yeah. Is it smoke Chipotle?
An eye, man.
But I think maybe what they need is in Zimbabwe is maybe their artisanal spice shop has to put on a We Say No to Goblins.
If you want a good time and to be amused and then totally confused by what you're reading, do a search for Zimbabwean Goblin.
Doing it.
And then
I mean, I feel like this could be one of those, you know, like
Wow, Goblin blamed for Zimbabwe underwear mystery.
Yes.
Girls at Zimbabwe school attacked by goblins. Oh, there's your clinic story. Okay, sex crazed goblin captured, comma killed. NewZimbabwe.com. Wait, so it's been captured and killed?
I'm sure there's a photo right there.
Is he a goblin? A confessed goblin owner who faced eviction from a Bulawayo neighborhood over claims the nocturnal creature was raping his neighbor's wives has won a reprieve after the gnome was killed. Whoa. They have an interview with the guy. How many goblins did you have at this time? There were four in the beginning. I had four. Pause followed by a brief inaudible whisper in the background. Probably the other goblins. Actually, there were five. I guess that's what the whisper was telling
me. Exactly.
When I left my rural homestead, I thought I had become gnome free. So there's some gnome goblin crossover here.
There was a gnome reference? Oh my God.
He thought he had become gnome free, but he's talking about goblins too. I was convinced the mystic had killed all of them, but one had somehow escaped and without my knowledge followed us to town and set base in our home. This goblin became very troublesome in a mischievous way. It had no discipline, started acting unilaterally and doing things I had not instructed it to do. To make matters worse.
This sounds very similar to your cat situation before we started recording. Yes.
Wait, but it gets worse. To make matters worse, it started having sex with my wife. This upset me a lot. How could this thing sleep with my wife? I started running around looking for help. I had become very concerned, as you could imagine. It goes on.
Doesn't it just seem like that's a bit of a cavalier attitude about that? Like, well, you know, everything was kind of okay. And also, he kind of glosses over the fact that there can be obedient goblins or ones that act with a very disciplined manner to their master or household commander and won't start sleeping. And then also it's like sleeping with the wife, like the wife was kind of into it. So many questions.
So many questions. I think you should put this interview in the show notes.
I feel like we need to, like, you know how there's like all these people take like cruises and have like conventions like
monkey cruises?
Tiny spider monkey cruises.
Yeah. Well, there's tiny spider monkeys, of course, one of the more infamous. But you know, like Jonathan Colton has his crew, Scott Johnson has his convention. I feel like the Weird Things convention could be us going on a goblin tour of Zimbabwe. So everybody starts saving up your pennies. We're all headed to the Big Z to go goblin hunting.
I feel like gnomes are getting a bad rap here.
Like they're getting lumped in.
Yeah.
Like maybe
here's the latest. This is like today. A house explosion in a town called Chitikunzia, a traditional healer is known to have kept gas cylinders in the house. They show this exploded house. I mean, it's like just exploded everywhere. And then they explain that they said body parts were hanging from everywhere and they were looking for explanations. And the reports he was creating artificial lightning. Some say he was creating a goblin.
Oh. This is today. Breaking
this is today.
News. Hot
this
off
is
today. The goblin presses.
Yep. House of
so is this just Zimbabwe, or is this like a more widespread phenomenon?
We've seen, I think, from places in South Africa too.
But I think it was kind of born. I mean, like in the same way that hip hop was born in the Bronx, I feel like goblin stories were born in Zimbabwe. That's where they live right now. Like that's where it's hot. Goblin's very hot right now in Zimbabwe.
Gotcha.
So
wow, yeah. Troubling.
I think since it's related to Zulu mythology, I think it could be just, you know, various parts of Southern Africa. You'll get those stories. I mean, we've seen them because we tried to track down because we keep thinking like, are we not understanding what they mean? Goblin.
I mean, again, you know, I feel like, you know, If somebody, when we post this episode, go onto the Weird Things website, leave a note in the comments if you feel like we're totally missing out on something. And it's like, oh, no, goblin means guy in a red hat.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
We can see how that would be confusing.
Yes. Like, oh, you meant goblin like the creature. Oh, no.
No, that's weird. What are
not
you, weird?
Not goblin. Goblin. No, goblin.
You know, redheads, gingers.
Goblin. Yes, there. It's gingers there.
That's what ginger is.
That's our new name for the redheads.
Oh,
goblins.
No. Come on. Those poor little devils. They had enough punishment in their
lives. Those poor little goblins.
Well, I'm just glad that we solved the mystery of what was bothering people in the clinic and that it was, in fact, goblins.
Goblins. And not those four tiny monkeys.
Yes.
Imagine how tiny the iceberg would have to be on their little tiny Titanic.
Oh, too soon.
Jeez, Justin. Have you no shame.
Andrew, I have a story that I would like to bring up with you that we talked about on last week's podcast.
All right.
Do you know in our home state of Florida, where I am now, I'm in Orlando, that there is a big contest happening?
I am aware of a contest, yes.
The out in the Everglades?
Yes.
The Big Bounty?
Yes.
So, Veronica, there is a big problem in the Florida Everglades with... now I can't remember the exact kind of snake. Burmese pythons.
Burmese pythons. Okay. But are they a problem because they are pets?
Well, they were introduced into the habitat, but they are not native and they are very dangerous to the ecosystem. Mm-hmm.
But
that's
yes.
What I mean. Like they were pets that were introduced to the native habitat.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Here we go.
My vast knowledge of snakes.
On right now, if you were to fly down to Florida, you could enter in to an absolute no holds barred python murdering festival that is ongoing right now and state sanctioned in Florida. You are allowed, not only are you allowed, you are encouraged to kill as many Burmese pythons as possible, and there is a $1,500 bounty to there's two classes, amateur and professional, for the most Burmese pythons you can kill and the biggest Burmese python kill.
You know, when I imagine a professional python hunter, I would like to see the dude from Jurassic Park, you know, the clever girl guy.
Yes, exactly.
I imagine it's probably somebody who doesn't wear shoes very often and drinks out of a mason jar.
No.
Wait, and what makes the difference between a professional and like an amateur? Like, aren't you still just killing Burmese pythons?
Well, I just want to go, practice, Veronica. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Well, in the purpose of this contest, it's two different categories. So I guess if you are registered as a professional game hunter of some sort, then you are in the category with other professionals. And if you're just some yahoo, which, by the way, there are reports coming in that this has become a tourist event. People are coming from all over the country to kill as many pythons as possible in the Everglades, which... Like, as much fun as we had with this story when we talked about it last week, it is really, it's a dangerous proposition. Not even just because Burmese pythons are not exactly the friendliest creatures on the planet, but also because the Everglades is a really inhospitable environment. Like, it's an easy place to get yourself killed if you don't know what the hell you're doing.
There's other killing animals in the Everglades. So let's just put it that way.
Sure. And it's an easy place to get lost.
Mm. So do you have to kill, in order to become a master, you have to kill 10,000 Burmese pythons?
I don't know. But among the people out there, and this is new to people who listened last week, is U.S. Senator Bill Nelson.
What?
The senator from Florida is headed on down. Democratic senator from Florida, Bill Nelson, is headed down to the Everglades to kill him some python.
Part of the reason they're doing this is that they go in some of these areas, they can't find any more mammals. They can't find any bobcats or rabbits or anything else because the pythons have been eating them all.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
No,
it's pretty.
Like, yeah, it's like a war. Like they found, like, one of the coolest pictures I've ever seen in my entire life was a python that tried to eat an alligator, but the alligator was too big and the python burst. So it was just a dead alligator in a half of a python.
My favorite part about that photo, though, is the python is missing its head. What ate the head?
Who knows? Yes. Other things in the Everglades.
Oh, I see that picture now. Oh.
All right. Tell me if this isn't kind of like a horror movie. So you're out there looking for these pythons that can get over 20 feet long, and they can kill things like a bobcat that might like mess you up. And one of the experts here had a tip for hunters frustrated by the python's near invisibility. I understand these things can be 20 feet long, way more than you. They're out there. And this is his advice. Stop and listen for a dry, rustling sound in the grass.
Jeez.
I'm going to get right on that.
Yeah, get on it. Wow, this is pretty creepy. Like, that picture is kind of... That thing is massive. Oh, my.
No, they're gigantic. They're huge. And I was listening to an animal expert on the radio who was saying that this is going to be extraordinarily difficult because it's really not all that cold this winter in South Florida, which, I mean, in South Florida, it's never particularly like cold for anybody in the Northeast that actually experiences cold weather. But like even on South Florida standards, it's not hitting, you know, the 40s or the low 50s as it is wont to do during the winter. And so the pythons are staying more in the Everglades and aren't migrating out towards some of the concrete areas where, you know, the heat collects, and they'll tend to congregate out there when it gets super, super cold. Yeah, so easier to find. This is just like, you got a bunch of people that are unfamiliar with the Everglades just out there looking to kill pythons. And one of the recommended ways to kill them is shooting them. And like what Andrew said, listen for the dry rustling. You know, that one distinct dry rustling in the Everglades.
Oh, no. What do we think what's the death toll going to be? Snake or human?
I guess it would be over or under. Who dies more, the snakes or the humans?
Well, the other thing, too, is that one of the ways you can catch them is that the female pythons give off a scent and when it's time to mate, but then you get a bunch of pythons all come together in a big ball, and it's like a python orgy.
And it's like a nightmare.
Oh, my God.
It's your waking nightmare.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're like, hey,
guys. It's the last thing you ever see. Yeah, it's the last thing you ever see.
All right. So people are saying 21 snakes bagged so far. This comes from the Daily Mail, published on the 20th of January, a day before we record this podcast. But yeah, it looks like not only have 21 snakes been killed, but you can get freshly made 2013 Python Challenge handbags out there in South Florida already. A hot item.
Ladies.
You don't have to go all the way out to the Everglades. You can just go to a picnic area near the Everglades, like a family from Arkansas did. They were minding their business, just enjoying their little picnic. Then out slithering from the woods came a python, 17 foot long. It's like, hey, guys, so you can have some mayonnaise? And they promptly called the Rangers, who arrived and shot it.
Look at that.
17-foot python slithering out of the woods into your picnic.
Like, I feel kind of bad. I feel kind of bad for the snakes in a way because, you know, they were just pets.
Snake lover!
Dirty snake lover.
Yeah, exactly. Pythons are the gateway love to goblins, just so you know, Veronica.
All right, so you feel sorry for them.
I feel a little bit sorry for them because, I mean, they were just pets. They didn't, you know, they didn't intend to end up in the Everglades. People just left them there because they were lazy. And now they're just being shot. I mean, it sucks in a way, but, you know, I guess you have to defend the natural habitat. That's the most important part, right?
Do we know that it wasn't a plot? Were they maybe like just sitting there in Burma, just all wide-eyed, looking cute, and they're like, "Take me home," you know, like, and that Harry Potter speak, "Take me home."
Yeah, the parcel tongue. So Brian Wood, co-owner of Exotic Leather Fashions in Hollywood, is
wait, buying, what's the name?
Brian Wood, co-owner of Exotic Leather Fashions in Hollywood, Florida. Is buying all the Python Challenge snake skins he can get his hands on and refashioning them into boots and handbags.
Nice.
Circle of life.
There we go.
Circle of life.
But no, it is going down in a major way, and we are still I have my challenge out there, not my challenge, my offer out there that I am willing to personally sponsor my own personal Python murderer. If you just email Justin Robert Young, I'll just give you a logo. You can just wear it on your shirt while you're out there killing snakes, and I'll give you $20.
Why are you just not going? Why are you not the man in the Everglades?
Because I actually have a job that where it's easier to make money than killing snakes in the Everglades.
I just wish this happened during election season so we could see competing candidates out there trying to, like, you know, outdo each other.
Oh, my God.
Python.
Why didn't this happen during the election? We could have had Mitt Romney and Obama out there, like, trying to kill more snakes than the other one. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would have been the best.
Because, I mean, you know, if Vladimir Putin was, like, governor of Florida— You know, he'd be out there wrestling one.
Oh, geez. Yeah, no. He would walk in and then, like, 5 seconds later just walk out just, like, with two dead snakes in either arm and no
shirtless.
Shirt. Yeah, yeah. He would walk in a full suit and then 5 seconds later walk out with, like, torn jeans and no shirt and two dead snakes in either arm.
Is it wrestling or wrestling? Is it wrestling or wrestling?
Wrestling.
Wrestling when Putin
wrestling.
Wrestling.
So there we go. By the way, $150 per snake from Exotic Leather Fashions in Hollywood, Florida. Oh,
not worth your life, maybe.
Yeah, screaming day nightmares, $150. Right.
Now, for some reason, I just want to really look up exactly where Exotic Leather. just knowing. As a proud graduate of Hollywood Hills Elementary, I want to know where this thing is. All right. Andrew, what else you got for us?
So we got a real quick, fun bit of information. SpaceX, which plans to put people into space in 2015, is actually going to be sending a private crew into space.
Okay. So is this different than what we knew their plans to be?
Well, their plans were they were going to ferry shuttle astronauts up to the International Space Station, but before they put government astronauts on, they're NASA astronauts, they're actually going to send a privately employed crew on board the Dragon craft to do the first mission. So instead of saying, hey, you know, let's try it with NASA, they're going to actually do it in-house. Their people working for SpaceX will be the first ones to go up.
Is this the most terrifying dog fooding process that could possibly happen in the world of startups?
I think it ranks up there.
Well, wouldn't you rather? No, I'm not going to say that. Nope.
What, say it.
No.
What would you not say?
Nope.
Come on, you just want to nibble around it, maybe a little bit.
Well, you know, I mean, these are just like people that paid money to go up versus, you know, smart scientists.
These are not tourists. These will be like, you know, actual, they're paid astronauts, but instead of working for NASA, they work for space.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. So instead of blowing up private citizens as you choose, these will be private citizens employed by this company. So they're, you know, they're not even people who are going to be, you know, cheered on, like, you know, with ticker tape parades like we do other astronauts. They're going to be, you know, just cubicle dwellers sent into space, but it's expendable by the Belmont standard, apparently.
I more meant like rich people willing to,
yeah,
them,
you know,
to go
you
up
want
to
see
the
some
opportunity
rich...
versus of I just want to see some rich people die.
Oh, all right. Oh, I thought it was gonna be
oh
so much
now
easier.
I said it. Great. Yeah.
Fine.
Well, we're gonna get letters from the rich people.
Exactly.
Written quill, you know, delivered in like on a little silver tray.
Well, like,
I don't want to see anybody die, internet. Please do not use that quote out of context. Thank you.
No, and certainly don't bring it up during Veronica.
Not even Hitler
tomorrow.
Veronica does not want Hitler to die. All right, got it.
Oh, well, if we could have to go back in time and also do that.
So what you're trying to say is that if anyone's going to die during SpaceX's first private zip around Earth in the Dragon capsule, you would like it to be a time-traveling Hitler.
Yes, oh, yes.
Veronica wants Hitler to be the first private citizen in space on board SpaceX, working in space. Great, Veronica.
The hidden connection between Elon Musk and time-traveling Hitler, finally revealed.
It was there all along. We just didn't know where.
Elon Musk was born in South Africa. We should ask him about goblins.
Oh, we should.
I'll tell you what. That should be question number one.
That's going to be like, he's going to be doing some talk about like, well, the one of the reasons we're using methane as a fuel is it's very good. And I remember as a child when a goblin was in my room and I had to go outside and, and be like, wait, what?
Did you just say?
Yes. Yeah, I was doing the math in the patio and I realized looking outside at all the organic. No. Back up. Yeah. You know, goblin? Yeah, of course. Yeah, I believe in goblins. Now get on board my rocket ship.
You know, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan the goblin.
Yeah, Dan. You know, the redhead.
Hi! It's the goblin sitting there in the SpaceX hat.
Hi, guys!
What's going on?
I fix all the spaceships!
Oh, and then he rapes people.
No, he rapes all the technical problems. In the
solution. That's what it meant. So yes. Much was lost in translation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, not rape. Like, you know, rape. All right. Well, so does this mean that this might happen sooner than what happened with the NASA thing?
2015 is the target. And think about this. This is going to be when you start having a private space missions putting people into space. Who, you know, that's Elon Musk wants to go to Mars, and I don't think he's going to wait on the government timetable for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's.
I mean, like, what do you think? I mean, like, when does everything that SpaceX is doing? Because, like, now it has become an increasingly big deal. In 2013, it became a very big deal inside, like, the tech science kind of community. You know, it went from people who were very interested in this company in particular to kind of crossing over to the, you know, general space enthusiasts. And it started getting more and more mainstream coverage. You got to figure when, by the time this stuff happens, like, it's gigantic, huge, massive, like, you know, we're creeping ever closer to the A block of the Today Show kind of news, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's certainly getting bigger, and you look at when we went to go watch the test launch,
yeah,
and the coverage that got, and then when I went to go watch the last launch, and it ran into Mollywood, by the way, and you know the increased amount of coverage that had. Now they're getting ready to do another one, and we talked about this before. I think when the next time we put people into space on board an American spacecraft will be a pretty big deal, which could be in 2 years. If we get the reusable craft that they're planning on, and you know, it's several years from now, but if that happens, when we start seeing things land back on the launch pad, that becomes like, wow, we haven't seen that before.
Yeah. Well, that changes the game, right? That completely it redefines how we think of
Veronica
space travel.
What?
When do you, I mean, you're as a very media literate kind of person who follows that. I mean, how do you, there's a thing when we see things that are big in the tech world and then we kind of get consumed in our own bubble. But then when things sort of break over into the rest of the world,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think there's some point when, I don't know. I mean, is it.
When mainstream America cares about what SpaceX is doing.
Yeah. I mean, one day, like everybody knew who Steve Jobs was.
Right. Right.
And, you know, now you get more people know who, let's say, Elon Musk is. He's not making a, you know, like a consumer device that, you know, it's going to sell a billion of them like Steve Jobs did. But people all of a sudden go, oh, the guy that does this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's kind of like when Twitter broke, you know, and on a much less exciting kind of scale. But I think it'll be really great because I think it's very important to get people excited about space and space exploration. And it only comes around so many times in, you know, in our lifetime that something super exciting happens. And I think it's happening more and more, like, recently. I think SpaceX has a huge potential to kind of bring it into the mainstream and make it something that, you know, the people on the planet get excited about again. I was also looking at men in kilts, sexy men in kilts.
No, not totally.
When you asked me that question,
that's what it takes.
It's so funny. That's often what Brian gets distracted by whenever he's.
Well, you know, the funny thing is the irony of what you just said though is that like the whole Mars mission. Anytime I've talked to a girl about the Mars mission, and this is just the type of girl I generally talk to, and not to paraphrase women in general. The guy at the Mohawk, you know, the JPL guy at the Mohawk. They all know who that guy is.
But do they say the JPL guy? Because that's kind of interesting.
No, they'll go the NASA guy.
They know that much. Oh.
No, they'll go the NASA guy. You know that. Mm. But that was just kind of funny. I've had that twice come like, oh, they know. Like, yeah, they know. Yeah, there's something on Mars, but oh yeah, the guy at the Mohawk. You know. Oh, all right. That's what NASA needs: guys in kilts.
You know, sometimes it takes like a cultural touchstone to kind of make it relatable for everyone. So they see, oh, that's the cute guy with the mohawk. But like, oh, what's that whole deal? Oh, I'm going to read about this a little bit, maybe, sometimes.
I'll tell you, I think you're on to something, V, though. All right, so let's say we're working with SpaceX, and they're mm-hmm. like, okay, well, we got to drum up a little publicity. We need a little sizzle.
Well, where are the Scottish in this? That's what I need to know.
So you're saying like...
Where are the Highlanders?
So maybe it's like, oh, you know, well, we've always had the tradition where, you know, we have a couple male models in kilts hanging out in the control room. Like, it's just a good luck charm.
I mean,
some of these kilt wearers are clearly goblins.
Right. Do we need an Elon Musk, Taylor Swift sort of little tete-a-tete or something to have?
Oh, jeez. Man.
She dates everyone.
Exactly. That's why the likelihood of happening is very high.
Is he single?
Yeah. Well, you know, because we were joking a little while ago. He had laid out his mathematical formula for how much time he would have to allot for a relationship.
Yeah, he's divorced, so he's got like three kids. But he explained it like a very articulate engineer. About the available amount of time you'd have for a relationship in a week. Love finds a way.
So there we go. So Taylor Swift, Elon Musk.
Done.
I mean, and it would only be a couple weeks. You know, she moves on quick.
Yeah. I've got one more for you.
Go ahead.
So there's some scientists doing some science stuff. Want to do an experiment with this science stuff. And the scientist told the German newspaper Der Spiegel. Here they just call it Spiegel Online, but I like to say Der. Yeah. And he's looking for a volunteer. He's looking for a volunteer to participate in this experiment. A woman. Any takers?
Sold.
Done. Fantastic. Cool.
I'm qualified.
Yes. Now, all you have to do is the duration experiment will probably be about 9 months. We'll say 8 to 10 months, given, you know, a little unpredictable nature. And that's pretty much it.
So we're just going to fax you over the paperwork.
And, I was still looking at men in kilts. I'm really bad at this podcasting thing.
You know, you like men in kilts? So you like kind of archaic kind of fashion?
No. Someone sent me a link. I really need to focus. I apologize.
No. This is good. This relates actually.
Okay. One more time.
You like kind of that rugged kind of type. You know.
Yes.
This is perfect for you because what they want to do is they want to inseminate a woman with Neanderthal DNA.
Oh.
By the way, the sound that Veronica just made was the sound that I heard throughout my entire teen years when I asked the girl out on a date. Oh!
I'm going to assume that Friday you were alone, right?
Sure. No, I'm busy.
I'm sorry. I can't get inseminated by Neanderthal DNA because I have to wash my hair.
Oh. Okay. Well.
That right. day. And all the days.
I think you guys would make great parents. I'm just saying.
Is it Brandon Fraser?
No. Encino Man, not a Neanderthal.
Oh, you're right.
George Church, who is a professor of genetics at Harvard, and at MIT, he's got one of these sort of, you know, he's a pretty brilliant guy. He's talked a lot about, you know, the state of where genetics is. He has said, I mean, you want to talk about bragging rights, quote, I can create a Neanderthal baby, comma, if I can find a willing woman.
And he can't, wait, does he have any money? Because most people do things for money.
I mean, he's in Boston.
You're he's got a company.
There's not some, you know.
What are you saying about people from Boston? What are you about to say about people from Boston?
They will have Neanderthal babies for
Dude
money.
Guy, what the fuck?
I'm just saying, you know.
What the fuck? You know, I'm not swearing.
I know you're not swearing. It's fine. I'm just saying that there's probably some fine young lady who hasn't taken off her Nomar Garcia Parra t-shirt jersey. could be convinced for a solid $3 to put a Neanderthal baby in her.
Put a baby in that.
So he's got a book out called Regenesis, How Synthetic Biology Reinvent Nature and Our Cells, which gets into the whole idea that if you can sequence genomes and you can look at that DNA, you can program a sequencer to pop that DNA out. And we actually have DNA from Neanderthal, something we never thought we'd have, but now we know the half-life of it is a bit longer than that. So we're able to get the entire sequence of a Neanderthal. And he's like, hey, listen, I can program this into something and I can knock up some woman with
Neanderthal. He
said that.
This has got to be hyperbole, though. Right.
Quote, and again, not like a German newspaper's ever taken anybody out of context, I can create a Neanderthal baby, comma, if I can find a willing woman, which is going to be my new pickup line, by the way.
If I can find a willing woman.
Now, wait, hold on, because there's no way that that's actually, like, that's actually real, because women are getting knocked up by, like, people that are basically Neanderthals constantly. Like, we've all had friends.
Does this work in animal science? Like, if you take DNA from, like, an extinct creature, I mean, haven't we tried this with, like, woolly mammoths and whatnot? Viable DNA that could be used to knock up
a very, very troubling incident on Isla Nublar off the coast of America, or Costa Rica.
There are people who want
Isla Nublar.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Get it straight. I was just on the ride today, by the way. There has been talk of doing that, and I don't know which is going to be closer genetically, us to a Neanderthal or a woolly mammoth to an elephant, because we probably share I think chromosomally and all that, we're probably almost identical to some extent, but I could be mistaken on that.
Well, are we only a chromosome away from a chimpanzee?
Well, we share 40% of our DNA with a carrot, so it's not like
inseminate a carrot.
A willing carrot.
A willing carrot. Throw it a few bucks.
Yeah. And it's tiny
problem
little,
solved.
It's tiny little Nomar t-shirt jersey.
So hypothetical, wow. Hypothetical.
Dude, I love you, Nomar.
Brian Brushwood and Tom Merritt invent some genius thing, really rich, start a university. Start a university. They make.
There's your problem.
They make Veronica, Justin, and me chairs of the university.
Wait a second. I can already see the problem. I'm the only lady. I do not get to be the only one who gets inseminated.
No. What, you're chair of a university. Nobody's setting any of an insemination here. I don't. No, they just gave you.
The lady, she doth protest too much.
Right. I'm getting to where I'm going to. George Church comes in front of us at our review board. The three of us get it aside. And he's like, hey, I've got some funding in place. I just need permission from the university to proceed. And Veronica's already like, no, not you, Veronica. I just need permission to do this. They're like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's saying that, he has to be working on it already, because there's no way that there's not a woman that, I mean, like, people are willing to do really dumb things constantly.
For science.
And this is, yeah, like, not for science, like, just for nothing. Like, people, like, we've all had friends that have gotten pregnant from people that you're like, oh, Jesus, really? That guy? Like, that's horrifying. Like, and that's not for science. She's not going to get written in Scientific American. She's just going to have a terrible child and a horrible baby daddy.
Oh.
So,
sorry.
For science.
I'm jumping a little mad science here.
And so, just so you know, I mean, he was, Church helped start the Human Genome Project. He's a real deal guy. He's not like, you know, like me. I mean, he's like a legitimate, actual, knows what the hell he's talking about kind of guy. And so all I'm asking from, nobody here is getting inseminated with Neanderthal DNA. Okay. So yeah. Let me make that clear.
Specifically, not me.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So the question is, three of us.
It's not like he's running around with a squirt gun.
Just we're the ethics board. We're the people. Yeah, he's got
a super soaker.
Squirt gun, bottle of scotch, and some Rohypnol. We're being asked, the three of us, do we say yes or no to doing this experiment? Okay. And you can ask me questions scientifically about it or whatever. Okay. Like, you know, Justin, if you want to start, ask me and then you just say yes or no.
What is the likelihood that someone would survive this?
It's, you know, Neanderthals have very big heads. It's going to be a cesarean. We're pretty sure the mother will survive. We have little reason that it'll be any different than any other childbirth. If there's any complication early on, if it doesn't self-terminate, you know, we will do that.
Veronica, you got any questions?
No, I'm good. I'm clear.
Right.
So are you ready to cast your vote?
I still don't. Okay. Yes. Yes, I am.
All right. That's it.
I'm going to vote. Well, you're all done. Let me ask you another question. What is the likelihood that this baby will survive?
That's the unknown. We don't know. We'll get an early idea if it starts to, the cell starts to divide and we can see early on, we'll be monitoring it all the way. You know, It'll be a different kind of pregnancy than, you know, it'll be a heavily monitored pregnancy. So it could statistically have a greater chance of survival than an average child, given the amount of attention we have focused on it. If there's some complication early on, we should be able to see it.
How much are we going to pay this lady? Like $30 an Applebee's gift certificate?
Yeah, she'll be compensated. She's got a lot of student loans she's trying to pay off.
She should live like a queen.
She got a literature degree, so.
Queen of the Neanderthals.
It was her dumb choice.
For the new master race.
Yes.
All right, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to cast my ballot.
Go. What's your ballot? What do you say?
Voting. Absolutely.
Veronica?
I'm going to go. I don't like the idea of poor little Neander baby having a sad life. I feel sad for that baby.
All I can think is Veronica's head is just like this gigantic headed child just wandering around alone in an empty playroom while the Hulk music plays. he's like drawing a little picture and then showing it to nobody and then like putting his gigantic Easter Island style head down on a huge.
Oh, he just has a big forehead.
Do you want to see
He's
a photo?
He's so cute.
Have you seen the photo of what the reconstruction of Neanderthal would look like?
No. Yes, I want to.
Let me email
to see
this.
That thing. By the way, the cat is throwing itself at the door right now, trying to get in. You guys missed this in the pre-show, but I had an epic battle with Devo, the cat.
It was a hilarious slapstick comedy for the ages.
It was like a goblin fight.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. Just take a look at the photo. I just sent you the link to the article. Okay. And
gotcha.
It's happy face.
Did you just email it?
Yeah.
Oh. I want to see the baby version of that. Can we de-age it?
Why no bring me into a world, Veronica?
I can create Neanderthal baby. I just need willing woman.
Yeah.
Willing woman.
Now, wait a minute. Your point, V, is that you don't want to bring the Neanderthal baby in the world because he would be the only Neanderthal baby?
Because it would have to spend its whole life like in a lab. Like, it's not going to have a normal life.
Why are you going to make him spend the whole life in the lab?
Because because everyone's going to know he's the Neanderthal baby. Everyone's going to know.
Well, I'm going to send you a photo of
he's going to be like a child actor that tries to grow up and have a normal life, and everyone just hounds him all the time.
Yeah, Macaulay Culkin, Neanderthal baby.
Baby, basically.
I'm going to send you a photo of a... I'm going to send it to you.
Send it.
Trying to spell Neanderthal, and I'm one of these people, like, I can never commit all the time to say Neanderthal, and sometimes I say Neanderthal, and when I try to spell
it.
So
which is the right way?
Well, it's Neanderthals, it's in Germany, they call it Neanderthal, Germany.
No, that's not what she's going to look like. No, that's wrong. She just has bad teeth. That is not.
Well, right now we're just looking at a regular.
You're just Googling Neanderthal, baby, aren't you?
I am Googling Neanderthal. What that is, it's that you ever
we can all play that game.
You ever do the trick with the orange peel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what somebody did that with their daughter. They just did the orange peel, turned it inside out like teeth, and so the daughter has these big Neanderthal teeth.
Oh.
But if you type in Neanderthal, baby, look at those.
So, all right, Veronica, how about this? We got four ladies. They're all lined up. They're all going to have Neanderthal babies together. There's going to be four little Neanderthal babies running around. It's going to be like Muppet Babies, but with Neanderthals.
And remember, this Neanderthal baby could be the one that takes the 49ers all the way.
Oh, these baby pictures are really cute.
It, like, there's really a picture cute. Of random picture of Elton John.
I want that one. I know, I saw that. That was weird. That was a little weird.
Don't go breaking my heart, Neanderthals, baby.
Oh, and then there's a zombie. Why is there a zombie?
Oh, zombie Neanderthals. Oh, my God.
Do you see it? Leather face mask?
Just my head just exploding at the concept.
Oh, man, what an awesome silent action movie that would be. You just have, like, imagine, like a Neanderthal, like, herd, like, back in the day, and then, like, a zombie, like, outbreak happens, and it's just Neanderthals just murdering zombies. I'd watch that for an hour and a half.
Oh, I found another article about this.
Hey, let's be honest.
If you're a young, single, and adventurous female human, wondering what to do with the womb you have just laying around inside you collecting dust, an opportunity has arisen. You could bear a Neanderthal baby. This is a once in an aeon chance to have your very own bundle of fur. A little ugger with your eyes and smile, but the back hair of its great, 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 etc. grandfather.
Wow. Are you telling me you don't put this up on Craigslist tomorrow that you have, like, you have 50 responses?
It's not the ladies I'm worried about. It's the baby. I don't care about the ladies.
But wait, I don't understand what your worry is. Like, it's going to be, it's going to be a special child. But, I mean, like, I would make the argument that it would be more love than the
maybe
average
you're right.
child.
Maybe you're right.
And I would make the argument, if you said, oh, he comes from the Russian Republic of Neanderthal, Isberg, I'd be like, oh, okay. I would never know that, like, that's not, like, yeah, because people, we come in all sorts of weird shapes and sizes.
You're right. I guess I'm just worried about his quality of life.
I'll tell you, he probably
lives. I guess maybe if he lives like a king, then I'm fine with it.
And what if, like, it's what evolution wanted? What if it's like Neanderthal went away only for us to bring him back in the
Okay, clearly not what evolution wanted. Totally scientific basis. In your plan, that's almost more, that's like, you know, if there was a god who was going to say, like, okay, now the scientist is going to come up with this idea, and he's going to bring back the Neanderthals, and then they're going to take over. Evolution.
Maybe it's just some sort of, I don't know, like a different way of, like, viruses hijack our system, like Neanderthals. Like, we're going to be kind of enigmatic and cool, and we're going to die out, but only so the smooth-faced ones will bring us back, and then we can dominate after they've built a bunch of cool stuff.
So it's not the zombie virus that gets us.
No, it's the rise of the Neanderthals. Although I'll bet you with that little Neanderthal baby, he lives most of his life in a lab. Until one magical day, him and his human best friend break out, and they go to the zoo and see a baseball game and sing Donkey Shane in a parade. It's going to be such an awesome, awesome, awesome day off for that Neanderthal.
And then it's Encino Man all over again.
And gets buried under a house to be discovered by Pauly Shore.
Oh, wait, no, now I feel bad for him again.
Oh, no, we were so close.
Oh.
And then this plan got shored.
He got short.
All right. You want to do picks?
I think it's time for picks. So so we had Veronica said no to science. Justin said yes, and I'm the tiebreaker.
No, I said... Oh.
You said yes?
I don't know what I said.
Well, it's a yes then. All right.
It's a yes to science. It's a yes to science.
All right.
Yes to Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm.
And that boy is Justin Robert Young.
There we go. Yes. I'm that was through, Veronica.
And any of you interested out there, Isaac Asimov wrote a story called The Ugly Little Boy, which dealt with this in the idea of, I think it was a time travel sort of the idea of bringing a little boy forward.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a time travel experiment brings a Neanderthal child to the present day. But it's based upon what we understood about Neanderthals in, 1958.
Yeah, yeah. Still. What a boss.
Mm.
So I actually think I want to go read that now.
Yeah.
All right. Time now for where we make our picks. And in this segment, Veronica, we make picks.
Yes.
It's all so clear to me now.
Yes. And it can be anything. It could be a movie. It could be a video game. It could be a book. Not unlike every other podcast you do.
Yes.
So
I can start. So mine's a bit of a retread. I don't know if I've picked it before, but I have been rewatching the first season of Game of Thrones with my girlfriend Ashley because she hasn't seen it. We want
to opposed to your girlfriend Jennifer. Okay.
Yes, of course. Because I want to get her caught up for the third season as it begins in March. And
3:31:13.
Which I'm getting a little. Get a little anxious for them to start showing actual scenes from it because I got really excited. They were like, "Oh, the first commercial," and it was just the crow flying around present day.
Yeah.
And no, I want to see new things.
Cool photogrammetry effects.
Yeah, enough with that. I want to see actual Westeros. So, spoiler alert, it's still awesome, and it's so cool. Rewatching it, especially this is the second time that I've seen the first season since I read the books. Mm. And it's so interesting to kind of look at it from that perspective, having already seen it, you already know what's going to happen, but it is it is just a spectacular, port of the books. You know, it really is just so artfully kind of weaves in, all these different elements of mythos that, nothing is really lost. You know, there are obviously things that, don't happen that are cut down, but at the end of every episode, I feel like it is worthy of the source material and really its own awesome adventure. So if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, this is the time to pick it back up and, go ahead and watch through the first two seasons before the third one starts and read the books. We've talked about it ad nauseum. It's awesome. Check it out.
I think it's great. I just, by the way, went and watched season two and same experience, just held up so well.
Yeah.
So I will do my picks unless Veronica's ready.
Oh no, I didn't have anything prepared.
You can think of a pick.
Cause you didn't tell me anything.
Yeah. That's my bad.
Yeah.
But let's see. Right. I just finished reading Old Man's War by John Scalzi. Mm-hmm. It was our pick for Sword and Laser this month, and it was just fantastic. I love many of Scalzi's books. This is one of his most popular and also one of his older books. And it has to do with a future scenario where once you reach the age of 75, you have the option of joining this colonial defense force. And so they take you up into the colonial fleet, and you're then able to fight in their war for them. I don't want to give any spoilers away about how someone who's 75 years old is then able to, compete in a battle scenario, but they make it happen. And it's funny, and it's interesting, and it's very smartly written. It's a very fast read, and it's one of my recent favorites for sure.
Cool. I read that. I enjoyed that. That was a very good book.
Mm-hmm.
So too. Kind of a neat one to read along with Forever War.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. By Joe Haldeman.
Yeah, kind of that needs.
A very Starship Troopers vibe as
yes.
well.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Hell be thy name, Heinlein. I have two picks. They relate. I was flipping around on the HBO Go, and I saw a movie I didn't see when it was out in theaters, and I heard good things about, but I never bothered to see. And that was Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which was based on the John le Carré novel, and this starred Gary Oldman, and it's set in the early 1970s. It's a Cold War spy story based on some characters that took place in a series of le Carré books, and I think it's the MI5 agency in Britain, which is their secret service, and this sort of his fictionalized version of what happens there, and it's the search for somebody who is a spy within the agency, and it's actually based loosely on true events, and it stars Gary Oldman, who I thought was just fantastic. It's got Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock Holmes. It's got Tom Hardy in it. I thought the acting was great across the board. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it got me on a little bit of a kick to start looking for other John le Carré books that have been turned into movies. And I found, I think it was on Amazon Instant, the story, The Spy Who Came In from the Cold, which was, at the day, was a very highly celebrated spy story. And it starred Richard Burton, who was probably one of the finest actors of his day or even today. And part of the reason I think Russell Crowe is so popular is he bears an uncanny resemblance to Burton in some ways. And so The Spy Who Came In from the Cold is a 1965 movie. It's black and white. I first started watching it, and sometimes I'm like, black and white. Do I really want to sit through a black and white movie because I'm kind of unsophisticated? And then I realized, you know what? The Rolling Stones had already been together for 3 years when this movie was made. And so it just sort of put everything into perspective. But I watched The Spy Who Came In from the Cold, and it's a very, very neat kind of story because so many spy movies today, I was talking to this with Justin, is that every spy movie is basically a big action movie where you're trying to go after the renegade agent or your agency's trying to kill you. You know, those tend to be the only sort of stories.
And these are two spy movies we allow these days.
Yes. And these are a very different kind of, you know, a little bit more insider sort of stories. And they deal a lot more with the personal struggles the people involved in espionage have to deal with. So those are my picks right now. The Spy Who Came In from the Cold and Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Awesome.
Nice. I haven't seen that yet, Tinker Tailor yet. Would like to.
Because I'm a
Cumberbatch. What?
When you got Commissioner Gordon, Sherlock Holmes out solving crimes.
Okay. Yep. I gotta tell you guys a Benedict Cumberbatch story that I heard. So a friend is coming from London to L.A., and he sees Benedict Cumberbatch walk up to the gate and is about to get on the plane. And so his friend looks at him, and my friend is telling the story and says, "Oh, that's Benedict Cumberbatch. I went to school with him." And he's like, "Oh, really? Do you think he'd know you?" And he's like, No. He was a few years older than me." And so then the companion screams, "Hey, Benny!" and runs up to Benedict Cumberbatch, and he's like, "Benny, how you doing, Benny?" And he's like, "Okay. And you are?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, like I went to the school, you headed to LA," and he's like, "Yeah." And the description of Benedict Cumberbatch, he's just getting more and more nervous and more uncomfortable and slowly inching toward as if there's a force field around the conversation and he is just trying very desperately to get out of it. And then as soon as there's any kind of break in the conversation, he just runs as fast as is socially acceptable into the gate, into the plane and on to LA. And my friend's companion turns to him and says, "He hated it when people called him Benny."
That's great. Oh, that's great. Sorry. My friend Bonnie posts pictures of Benedict every day on Facebook, and I enjoy it very much.
Well, there we go.
We have a Pinterest board for him, too.
Of just Benny photos?
Just Benny. All Benny. All the time. Wicked Benny guy.
There we go.
Now, all right. I think that's a wrap on weird things. I think it's been pretty weird. Veronica, thank you. Thank you very much. I hope you will agree to join us again.
Absolutely. I promise to be less distracted next time.
No. Oddly enough, as I lose my own ability to talk as I look up Benedict Cumberbatch's batch. Is it Cumberbatch or Batch? I can't get it right.
Batch, right?
Cumberbatch.
Okay. As I look up his Wikipedia profile.
Which, by the way, more attractive in person, I was told.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He has some kind of like funny wonky pictures sometimes, but I love him. I love him.
Apparently his skin is otherworldly. It doesn't look like a human skin.
Like it glows from within?
Yeah, like it has a like if let's say it would go for more than $150 at the Exotic Leatherworks in Hollywood, Florida.
let's say that. let's say that out loud.
Yeah, well, Veronica, of course, I don't know who would be listening to this that doesn't know Veronica's other stuff, but Techzilla, who do you guys got coming up on Sword and Laser?
Oh, well, we had Terry Brooks this week. Next week, awesome. We are having Brandon Sanderson, of course, who just finished up the Wheel of Time series from Robert Jordan.
Wow.
Yeah, you guys absolutely are killing it with that. If anybody who is, if you are listening to this podcast and you are not watching the Sword and Laser show and listening to the Sword and Laser podcast, go ahead on over to youtube.com/geekandsundry and find the Sword and Laser podcast everywhere where you procure fine podcasts, because Veronica and Tom just do a fantastic job. And it's always, I have it on my Stitcher favorite podcast.
Aw, thank you.
So it just happen like whenever I just start my stuff, and I'm always happy to hear Veronica and Tom talking about fantasy novels that I haven't read and probably will never read. But it's okay. It's always just a fun time.
Yeah, it's all at swordandlaser.com.
There we go.
Awesome.
Find that.
Cool. Well, cool. It's been weird. The awkward out.
There we go.
You want to sponsor the podcast? Do you have $30? If so, go to weirdthings.com/sponsor, and you can have Justin say whatever you want. He's a trained ape.